The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.
Welcome one and all to another episode of the DL Debate here on Highland Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We have another packed show in store for you this evening with the one and only Brendan Kilcoyne and Big Neil Gallagher joining us to review the Senior Championship starting next week. We also have a word later in the show from Paddy Bradley around up and coming Derry Championship. But first of all, I'm joined by the main man here, the head of sport himself, Oisin Kelly's looking through the glass at me. How are you, Oisin?
I'm not too bad, Brendan. Yourself?
You're a busy man, Oisin, of course, with these wee twins. I don't know how you pull it all together. Is it caffeine that keeps you going, or what?
That plays a big part in it, so it does. And having a good wife as well, Brendan.
There you go. You got a, that's, hey, there's brownie points straight away. I like it. I'm just thinking about Adam Spears going to be coming on the show down the line a bit of a health kick for us all, so we've got to watch the caffeine. Hey, don't get too tuned in there. But listen, Oisin, another packed weekend of sport there. The regional leagues were on, and you yourself's finally going to get back to doing what you do best in the commentary next week. You're down on the bridge, is it?
Yeah, we can't wait to get back, Brendan. First round of the Donegal Senior Football Championship. The big game of the round, as you say, is at the bridge. St Michael's are taking on Glenswally. And I suppose going into the championship, we don't have that much knowledge of what teams have been doing this year, because we haven't seen too much football apart from the last two weekends. As you say, Big Neil's your guest in the programme. He might have a better insight as to what's going on in Glenswally and let you know shortly on that.
But he never gives too much.
No, he doesn't. They're very, very coy out there, so they are in the way they do things. But St Michael's have seen them already in the regional league. My own club, Termon, played them in the first game. And they beat us. And they won again against Clonhilly by 4 points yesterday. But certainly, I think their standout performer from the two matches has been one of the old war horses, Colm Anthony McFadden. He scored about 1-4, 1-5 yesterday, Brendan.
1-5, he's reading back the years. Yeah, it looks like he's white hot at the minute of the game.
Yeah, and it was the day that he played Termon, he was very, very good. And obviously, they've got Michael Langan there in the middle of the park. And they've got some really, really strong players as well. They'll be looking, of course, to start with a win at home. You're going to get two home games. If you're going to feature at the top end of the eight to get through to the quarterfinals, you need to be winning your home matches, so they'll be looking to do that. Some have said that maybe there's a bit of change coming on the horizon in Glenswally, and obviously Neil's not about this year for them. Michael's still there, Copper still there, back returned yesterday, got 2 goals and 2 points, wasn't it, against Downings.
Back from a cruciate,
yeah,
which
and
is
it's, a and there's number engine. There's a number of young players that have been blooded through there as well. So Glenswally, they'll be a team to watch. Now, can they trouble the top four? We're going to have to wait and see. But if they were to get a result to start things on the road at Dunfanaghan Friday, that would be huge for the Glen. So it was. Listen, it's a tasty one to start, Brendan. There's no doubt about that. It throws on at 7:30 on Friday, and we'll have full live match commentary here on Highland as from 7:20. I'll be joined by Martin McHugh for that one to start the opening weekend of the championship. And we'll, of course, have reporters at the rest of the games through the weekend as well. But certainly, we're all hoping we're going to have a good start.
Set up nicely. It sounds like the game of the weekend is the one I'm most interested in, all right? And just a quick word on Glenswally's one there. Young Larkin Connor. I shouldn't call him wee Larkin Connor anymore. He's growing up fast. Larkin Connor hitting
one. He's probably bigger than you now at this stage, Brendan. So
I just remember him from years being down in Downings there. We cookie and gas and have been a young lad, but time moves on quick. But yeah, he hit 1-8 against Glenswally, and maybe that's Big Neil not being sitting around blocking up the defence for him. Maybe that was the issue, but a special word for him in that game. And of course, hardly read in the regional leagues too much, but as I say, our two guests that are on the line there now are going to join us and give us their expert opinion. Of course, two men that have lifted the Dr. Maguire. We're welcoming in Brendan Kilcoyne and Neil Gallagher. How are you today, lads?
All good, Brendan, yeah.
All good. Lads, I'm just looking at the format there, the two group sections in the championship, and it's almost as if, you know, again, outside of the groups that are there, the top four that we all know, you know, we have Four Masters at home to Gidoer, we have Niamh Connell at home to Milford, Unions away to Bundoran, and Kilcare at home to Termon, and you're straight away thinking, right, all those matches should go to form. It's the other four matches that you very hard to pick about. You've Killybegs at home to Glenfinn. You know, you've let's say Michaels against Glen Swilly, massive games. Even St. Noel's and Dunloe, you couldn't pick apart. You know, it's fascinating stuff coming down the line. How, what are you looking at to the weekend, Brendan?
Yeah, listen, and it's interesting that they've given the, you know, the Friday night slot to the St. Michael's Glen Swilly game, and the second week it's St. Junan's Kilcar and O'Donnell Park on the Friday evening. So they're obviously billing them as the big games and giving them the Friday night stand for that respect. Some really interesting games. Like, as you correctly said, you'd expect the big four to come through in the first round games. Of the four of them, I think possibly St. Junan's probably have the toughest fixture away to Bundoran, Brendan, from the point of view, you know, Bundoran are a fairly decent side. We saw them last year. They really put it up to Gidor out in O'Donnell Park in the latter stages of the championship. And, you know, there's some really, really good players, so they have. So obviously you have the two Brennans, you have Jamie and Paul, but there was a Govorov lad who was really, really impressive that day too, Keane McNiff. I don't know what the story with Gary Glancy is now. He doesn't appear to have played for Bundoran in a couple of regional league games. But that'll be a tough assignment, I think, for St. Junan's down in Bundoran, and it's one they'll need to be on their toes for, so it will. And, you know, of the other games, the obvious big game of St. Michael's and Glen Swilly is a massive game down the bridge, and we can recount great games between these two teams down through the years. Well, maybe some of the games weren't so great, but they were always very, very keenly contested, and Big Neil on the line there was involved in all them. So, you know, Glen Swilly going down there, it's a really big assignment. St. Michael's have massive quality, and they're the always the team. Michaels are always the team you pick outside the big teams that are expected to be at the business end of the championship that you expect something from, and they just haven't got over the line down through the years. And you know, when you look at the quality they have, and Oisin was referring to Colm Anthony there, and you know that he's still their main scorer, but they have so much quality, and I think it's time for the St. Michael's, the likes of Michael Langan and Daniel McLaughlin, and then you have the younger, the O'Reillys, are a couple of lads there, is it Edward and Carlos? And, you know, these fellas really need to step up to the plate if Michaels are going to push on this year. As regards Glen Swilly then, Brendan, like, you know, Glen Swilly are the team that you, if they can get through the qualifiers and get into the quarterfinals, they'll be a match for anyone. You know, any team that has Michael Murphy in it, you know, they have a great start in any game, and they're going to be very difficult to beat. That's a massive game, so it is down the bridge on Friday, and one to really look forward to.
Where are you going to find yourself at the weekend, Brendan?
Yeah, well, listen, it's very hard to know, I suppose.
Where are you allowed in? That's the question.
that's the problem. Now, I haven't been at any game. I was actually in Mayo there a couple of weeks ago, and a couple of nephews of mine are involved with Brafey, and I was at a Brafey-Gary Moore game down, a regional league game down there. But I haven't been at any of the games up here, so I suppose people don't know if there's a 200 capacity, that's not going to allow bucks like me to sit in the car and drive and just turn up at the gate and get into a game. It's just not going to work that way. So, you know, I'd like to think that I'd get to a couple of games over the weekend, but we'll just have to check ticket availability, and maybe Oisin might be able to sort an old press pass or something, you know.
Pull in a favour. You might be up a tree, so you might be up a tree. Tell me, Big Neil, listen, how are the Glen going to cope without the main man this season, and how are you going to cope with watching on?
It'll be a tough one to watch on, like, see, like, not being part of the game, especially a big game like that. I mean, when the draw came out, that it was us against Michaels. Yeah, instantly thinking you have all the games that you played down through the years and against them, and the great battles you had. Like, and I suppose to not be part of it and to be watched. I know there this last 20 years when I've kind of been maybe watching games that they're hard to watch, especially when they're close games. Like, you know, because it's just so tight. Like, so wouldn't be a great spectator, but. And listen, hey, that's the way it's going now. Like, there's changes, and even you're looking through all the team sheets of different clubs there this last 2 weeks there, like, especially Eunice, the Eunice team sheet stands out a lot to me. Like, you know, a lot of kind of younger fellows that are on it, like, and it's just the way it goes, just the change, and we have a lot of young fellows that are coming up there now, and that, you know, and we've lost a couple, like Joe Gibbons and Kieran Bowler, and that's not playing either, like, so, listen, it's just, it's just the way it goes, Brendan, you know.
And no battles with you and Toy then? That would have been a small sledging match. I would have liked to... It would have been on the friendly side now, but I can imagine you and Toy matching up in such games and the words you'd been having with each other.
Aye, well, it would have been surely, but...
Magnus.
Like Magnus, aye. Aye, the kind of fella now that... And he's man-marked a lot because of the fact that he's just, you know, so strong and powerful and a good runner, like, you know what I mean? And, but they have, like, I mean... They have, like, Michael Hanley's a great runner on the ball. Michael Langan, like, I remember, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, I remember we played St. Michael's in the league, like, and Langan's midfield, and, you know, geez, I couldn't get over how kind of how he moves about the pitch. Like, he's got great, he's got a great stride on him, and he's a great player now. He's come on well for the county this last couple of years, like, and he's a massive player for them now, then St. Michael's, you know.
Peter Wetherill, of course, is over in London at the minute, a huge loss for him, and I remember last year we were down the bridge, he came on and hop Michael Boyle. It was one of the funniest moments of the championship last year. But Brendan, just come back to the Bundoran St Union's game there. Bundoran losing to McCool's at the weekend. Is that, I mean, it's, I keep wondering, can we read into this regional leagues? There seems to be a lot of teams not putting out their full side in it, but again, a home defeat just pre the championship in a game, I suppose they would have expected to win.
Yeah, and listen, I don't think I would read a huge amount into some of these regional games. Like, I see Unions didn't play a couple of their county men yesterday. I don't think Keelan Ward or Niall O'Donnell or a couple more played yesterday for St. Unions, so I wouldn't be massively influenced by what teams and what results are coming out on that, because every team is going to be gearing for next weekend for the championship, obviously, Brendan. And, you know, I think it's been a great opportunity for clubs, and the feedback seems to be, you know, you take Glenn Swilly to have Michael Murphy training among the lads for steady for 5-6 weeks. It's going to be a great lift, and the same, Bundoran will have the same, you know, they have Jamie and Paul in with them, and Unions lads likewise. So I wouldn't read a whole pile into it. And, you know, we're going on a form line, really, Brendan, from last year's championship is the best form line that we can go on. And we'll know more after the weekend of where certain teams are. But I just felt Bundoran showed a lot in that game against Gidor last year, you know, in the park, Brendan. I know you were out at it too. And they have some good players all over the pitch. And they are a team that have made strides in the last number of years. Like, this is their backup in senior football now a few years. So it's just a game that, you know, Unions having to travel down their way, it'll be a big ask. And this is a very, very young St. Unions team. And yeah, they have a good, strong squad. And yeah, they're all good players that have come through minor and under 21. But championship football is a different kettle of fish completely for them. And they're going to get tested down there. And it's probably best for them that they do, because they're going in against the hot guns of Kilcar the following week. So I think it'll be just a good test to see where St. Junans are at. I would expect St. Junans to come away with a win down there, of course, Brendan, but I think they could get a good test.
Well, Brendan, just looking at Thornton, obviously O'Hurley in there now, they've got the team that they want moulded. There's been a lot of talk about, obviously, the defensive setup of Unions in terms of they've six basically county players, they've a county keeper and goals, you know, and then up front, I mean, I suppose yesterday, you know, Conor O'Donnell hitting, or at the weekend, Conor O'Donnell hitting 2-3. It's all about, from a Unions perspective, getting enough scores on the board. They certainly have, you know, the defensive capabilities to match anybody in the championship.
They have indeed, Jan, you know, they're very strong defensively, and, you know, people may. Last year, we're kind of saying that St. Unions were too reliant probably on Niall O'Donnell for scores, and there was an element of truth in that too. But now we've seen the likes of young Owen McGeehan. You know, he's a goal-scoring machine. He got two more goals at the weekend. So Niall and Conor O'Donnell's brother, Shane, it's very easy to get confused for people that don't know, but there's a lot of O'Donnells now involved with St. Unions. So their younger brother, Shane O'Donnell, who is a really, really good footballer, came on for St. Junan yesterday, scored 4 points. And he's a really talented player and a forward player too, you know. And then you have, you know, you have young Brian McIntyre, who played really well for St. Junan's last year. Now, they're not the most physically imposing of teams in the forward line, Brendan, from, you know, they're pretty small, but they have some very good score-getters coming through. How they will step up to the senior championship level would be the next question for them. You know, Jamie Doherty yesterday scored 1-3 or 1-4, I think, too. So they have plenty of forwards. I suppose for Richie and David, it's getting the right mix. and making sure, you know, because coming into this time of year and you're going away to pitches, and, you know, the pitch down in Bundoran mightn't be the biggest at Gaelic Park, mightn't be the biggest pitch, and will they have the space to express themselves? But that's the big test, and they're the questions that lie ahead for the for teams like St. Junan's. But I think they'll be happy that they have developed a couple of forwards over the last couple of years, and it'll be interesting to see how they motor in this year's championship, Brendan.
Yeah, certainly, and of course, fingers crossed that everything does happen, because at the weekend, of course, the St. Michael's game was supposed to be played on Saturday night, but it was moved to Sunday because there was a scare there in about COVID, possible COVID 19, but turned out to be false, so the game went ahead. So let's just hope it all happens. Say, Neil, in the same way, Neil, the backroom team, new backroom management set up at Glen Swilly, is there, I suppose, in many ways, Neil, underage coming through now? You said, you spoke to me one day about a good underage side coming through that looked like it would produce a few players. And what would be the hopes this season for Glen Swilly?
Well, as you said earlier there, like, you know, when you still have Michael Murphy in your team, like, you're well on there. It's a great start to have, you know. Listen, it's the team there, like, it's there's still a good few of the team that has been there and been successful this last while, but I suppose then there's just, it's the younger fellows, like, to get the chance there, as Brendan says, to train with Murphy, like, for, like, there's not many players in Ireland, I can say, like, that they're playing with one of the, you know, the best footballer in Ireland, you know what I mean, and training with them all the time. So, I mean, if you're in there, that'll bring you on, the fact that he's there training with them all the time, like, you know, and that'll bring them younger fellas on.
And where do you think, where do you think Michael will play this season, Dean? Is this a tactical question you're going to avoid now? Oh, she goes on about
listen, I would say it'd be full forward, like, I mean, you know, like, I don't, as I say, know for sure, but I'm sure he'd be full forward. But Alison, no matter where he plays, he's a handful, like, you know. But listen, that for Glen Swilly, like, the first games are obviously a tough one, like, down in the bridge and stuff, like, you know. That's going to be a good one, like, and that's going to be, like, a tight, tight game, like, you know, because, as I say, McFadden scoring away there at the minute, like, and the threat that them, that Michaels have, like, it's going to be hard to try and contain them all, you know. But Brendan mentioned, you know, experience there and championship experience and stuff, and, like, there's no better game than the likes of that there, like, to bring you on and stuff like that. And it will be, like, I mean, these regional leagues are the league, and, like, the championship is the big one, and it is a good step above. But there's still plenty of experience in our team there at the minute, like, so it's it'll be a great start to get a victory, like, but we just know it won't be easy, you know. So Michael's plenty of experience as well, you know, so it'll be a good battle, you know.
Yeah, certainly. I think it's the tie of the weekend for me. And Brent, in that second group we talked about, in terms of, as I say, the teams that are outside of what we call the top four, can you see any of those teams, you know, getting a run together to cause any problems? You know, we're looking at St. Michael's Glen and that second group. Do you think there's something can come from them, Brendan, about trouble, what we call the top four?
Yeah, well, I think you're there. The aforementioned two of St. Michael's and Glen Swilly would be the two teams that could possibly, if they got on a run, trouble the higher ranked teams, we call them, Brendan, in the latter stages of the championship. We all know, we've seen what Glen Swilly can do when they get to that stage and they can control games. Now, they had the big man at that stage to kind of work in tandem with Michael, and that, you know, that'll be an interesting dynamic to see how that can be replaced, because it won't be easily replaced. They were such an effective duo for Glen Swilly down through the years. From St. Michael's, like, you know, you were talking about Michael Langan, like, he's such a fantastic footballer, and he is a player that could lift Michael's to new levels. So he is, and St. Michael's needs something like that to happen. They can't always be relying on the Christies and the Columns, and they need some of these fellas to really stand up and be counted this year for them. Like, you know, people talk about Sean O'Shea, the Kerry centre forward. Like, Michael Langan is as good a quality a footballer for the age of lad he is at this stage of his career as there is in the country, and it's about him pushing that on, and he's making the proper strides in that direction. You know, looking at the rest of the bunch, you know, I mentioned Bundoran, and I think they're a team that could, you know, that are going the right way about things, that they could. And then you have, you know, someone like Killybegs, you know, you have Vrasda and Rory Gallagher in charge of Killybegs. They have a tough draw. I think they're who they got first. They have, I'm just looking at the Glen Finn, so they'll expect to win that game at home to Glen Finn, and of course then they're away to Gidor, and there is a bit of rivalry and a bit of history between Gidor and Killybegs. But they're a team that have some very good footballers. They've won Ban back fit this year, and you know, obviously Hughie McFadden is a massive leader for them in the middle of the park, and a couple other, the Jack McSherry lad that really impressed me last year too, Brendan. So they're a team that, you know, if they can get a head of steam going, that they could maybe push on. But, you know, ultimately you're coming back to the four big guns that just seem to be that step ahead. Like if you look at league tables or championship performances over the last 5 years, these are the teams that are always in the top, you know, the top quartile of the league, and that are always contesting the latter stages of the championship. So it's up to the some other team to maybe knock one of these teams off their pedestal, but it's difficult to see if that is going to be the case this year, Brendan, to be honest. You're looking at
huge organisation, and I guess, as you say, you know, that epic final last year, you know, the trilogy between Gidor and Niamh Connell, after Gidor won in Ulster and Niamh Connell again coming so close, I think it's really elevated the whole championship in Donegal. And you just, at the same time, and as much as we look at these teams, and I think they're so well organised and they seem to be getting better all the time, as you said, we really want everyone else to come up to a level where we can compete. I think that's the big thing. Competing is the one, you know, if you go and you can at least be in the game and give account of yourself and build on that, I think that's what all these senior clubs are looking for. And of course we're mad for a dark horse to be in there as well, because I mean, they were the four semi-finalists last year, and as I say, a brilliant final. Neil, do you see anything outside of that? I mean, as you say, have you ever seen a county final trilogy like that? That it was amazing stuff last year, Niamh Connell and Gidor. Have you a thought on who will be back there in this year's final?
Hi, like, just, you know, going back to that finals last year, like, and it was unreal. Like, there was nothing between them teams at all. Like, the fact that, you know, coming into it, with Niamh Connell having lost the previous two finals, and then Gidor coming in and them having won Ulster, like, it was unreal the way it played out then, to go to the three games, like, and for Niamh Connell to beat them then, with that Gidor team, I mean, the talent that they have in that team, it's unreal, you know. But Niamh Connell are tough, and you look through their team sheet there now, Brendan, and they have all these young fellas coming on, with Jack McKelvey and all these boys coming on, and then they have boys like Wade and Marty Boyle and Anthony Thompson that are playing for years and have massive experience. They're going to be there and thereabouts. Kilkear, like the pace that Kilkear have, and from what I hear as well, like their young fellas they're bulked up, like they're beefed up there a good bit as well. So they must be hitting the gym, and they're going to be there and thereabouts as well. Like, you know, and as you say, I'd say to them top four and that and St. Michael's, then you can nearly put them in as part of that nearly as well. Like, you know, but
you're not talking up Glenswally again there, of course. You're playing a blinder here. Neil, do you know what? I was just thinking, Neil, like Martin Regan was on the show a few weeks back, and I was, you know, different things happen in dressing rooms, as you know, which stand do you then going forward? But the sheer guts that Niamh Connell showed in those three games, particularly when they were 3 points down in the third game and they were beat out the door and that was it, the fact that they come back and won the championship, it must give them massive resolve to think, even if they're playing poorly in the game and they're getting beat, they're going to think, hey, we can still win this match. You know what it's like in a dressing room. Once you've got that behind you, you know, that would make, for me, Niamh Connell so much more dangerous this year than other years, is the fact in that dressing room, they're going to fear no situation or fear nobody.
No, and they're as a team and a bunch of players, like, they're very close knit, like, you know, and they're very packed, like, you know, and they would, with Martin Regan being one of their, you know, I mean, the boys would be pally with them, they would play with for him more, you know, because they're very pally with them, and they have massive experience too, like, in the way that they ground out them games last year and got the draw and then they won, and that, it's, as you say, it gives you great confidence, and I suppose the big one will be, like, to do back-to-back, like, I mean, the way Gidor, you know, more or less ramped to the championship in 18, you would have thought, right, you know, these boys could do two or three in a row or four in a row or whatever, but it's hard to do back-to-back, you know, and I mean, that'll be the big one for them, and I mean, Kilkear, they'll not be, like, Gidor, Unions, like, you know, I think this Unions team, the team that they have with these young fellas and that, like, and you say more or less six county defenders, it's a great start to have as well. Do you know what I mean? And it's going to be a great championship. The fact that it's going to be played, like, you know, more or less week in, week out, and like it's hopefully just the one thing is just the crowd. Like, I mean, I don't know what the crowd, what the story will be about getting in, but like it's a championship. Like,
Neil, that's a good point. I mean, like I was at Setanta Park yesterday for the couple of hundred was let in. They probably, just for the perimeter of that, and there's obviously a small bit of a slope there as well you could have used, but for that perimeter I would say maybe a tenth of the perimeter was used by that 200. I mean, it's ridiculous. Now again, if it's safety reasons, I don't mind, but then you say, well, sure, restaurants, bars, etc., there's no sense to it. You know, if people say, right, that has to be for safety, but I just think so many people's going to deny the right. You know, you're outside, it's perfect situation for you to be safe, that you're going to be stewarded, and I hope very soon that I mean, 500 for me would be the absolute minimum for a lot of these games, and the likes of the Bridge would I think at the weekend there'll be a lot more in. If you think Unions got care the following week, the stand, etc., you know, you just think, listen, why are we denying so many people? I think it should be up to the GA to kind of organise what way that goes forward, because they have been, I suppose, on the conservative side of things, so I think they would handle that in the right way.
Yeah, hopefully, because like people have, I suppose there's been no sport for like all summer, nearly more than this year, and whatever since the COVID thing came in. Like, so I mean, people are only going to be mad to go. Like, people have been used to, you know, all the time going to games every week, and now the fact that this last couple of months there hasn't been games, so people's going to be mad to get out and about and go to them. You know, so hopefully, listen, you know, I don't know whether hopefully it'll sort of sell out or whatever, you know, but. As I say, the club championship, like it's very, very special. Like it's a great competition. Like, and the standard in Donegal is savage. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I suppose Gidoa won in Ulster there a couple of years ago. It's kind of spurred other teams on to kind of go to that length as well. Like, because I mean, they won in Ulster titles.
It's huge, yeah, and listen, you came very close yourselves, and there's been two finals in between as well, with teams knocking on the door, and I think a lot of that's to do with tactics. And Brendan, last word to you around the tactics. As I was saying to Neil there, they went in with a defensive structure in the Ulster, which kept them safe in terms of they could grow into the game and they weren't open. And I think that's been the key to Donegal teams that went into Ulster, and now everyone has got a certain level of organisation. For Gidoa, of course, they've lost Michael Boyle. He's over in London working as well. And they've decided just to organise training between the management team is there. Stephen Casty has joined. But tactically, Bryn, it'll be pretty much a keep ball situation, counter attack, and everybody doing some version of it, and Niamh Connell sticking to what they do best.
Yeah, and listen, you know, there are so many vagaries here. Like, I don't think you're going to see an awful lot of that early in the championship, because like Unions go out and they play open football, as do Kilcar generally, like, kind of thing. And okay, going back to the county final, it was very tactical from the point of view both teams set up not to concede too much early in the games and that, Brendan, but I just, you know, you look at the quality that's through the Skidore team, and you'd expect them to come away with a win against McCools, who seem to be struggling somewhat. Now, listen, Oisin Gallen is back and playing well for them, and I'm not sure if Marty Riley has a hamstring problem or not, but I saw he didn't play at the weekend for them. But Skidore, you know, really aren't going to show their hand in the early rounds. There'd be no real need for them to do that, Brendan, and it's only as the big guns start to meet later in the championship that we're going to see the real tactical kind of plays come into effect at that stage. So I can't see, you know, too much been given away by them type of sides this weekend. Now, listen, the following weekend, Kilcar and St. Junan's, both teams like to play it open enough and will play a lot of football, Brendan. So it'll be interesting to see how that game sets up, because that is a big game, you know, but you're going in with two wins after two games. You're nearly assured that you're going to get into the qualifying stages. So neither team, you know, will want to give away too much, but they'll be looking to get a win on the board in that game too, Brendan. So I can't see the tactic side of it being too influential early on in the game. And, you know, you look at, you know, you were speaking about Glenties there, and you're speaking about the squad depths, and people are saying St. Junan's have the strongest squad. They have a strong squad, but I think across all the four top big guns that we're talking about, they're really strong squad-wise. Like, I was looking at the the Niamh Connell team yesterday. Like, they've so many good young players coming through, Brendan. Like, you look at Charlie McGinnis, Nathan Byrne, Ethan O'Donnell, he's around a couple of years, Owen McGettigan, Jack McElvey. All these, and they're big, strong, physical lads, so they are. And they were able to bring off the bench yesterday Johnny O'Malley, Owen Wade, Mary Boyle, and the Brick Malloy. Like, that's some experience to be bringing off your bench at any stage of a season, Brendan. So, and Guy Doerr or something similar, they have them four or five, you know, they have the squad stretched out. And they're going to need strong squads over the next 7 or 8 weeks because it's a longer championship than usual. There's four qualifying games as such, and then you're going into quarterfinals. So you're going to have to play a minimum of 8 games to win it. So don't see tactics been a major factor this weekend, Brendan. I think the big teams will pull through. And, you know, obviously there's massive games. We look at St. Noel's, you know, coming back up to senior footballer. They're going to fancy themselves against Enlow, and it'll be great for them after their strong run through in the Ulster Intermediate Championship last year. So some really, really interesting fixtures there. So there are, apart from, you know, the ones that we've spoken about, Brendan.
Yeah, brilliant, lads. And listen, thanks so much for joining. Just before you go, lads, I'm just going to want a one-team answer, all right? I'm going to run through the championship games this weekend. So let's start with that one, St. Noel's. Don't know, are you agent for St. Noel's there, Brendan?
I think I would, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, all right. Big Neil. Big Neil, McCool's our draw. Who are you going for there?
I'm working with McGrath at the moment, so I'd better say our draw.
Brendan, four Masters, Guy Doerr.
Four Masters, Guy Doerr. You have to fancy Guy Doerr. Four Masters seem to be struggling a bit, so Guy Doerr win that one, Brendan.
Yeah, Big Neil, Niamh Connell, Milford.
I think Niamh Connell will do that, you know.
Kilcar, Tiernan, Brendan.
Kilcar, Tiernan, very young side coming up. It's a daunting prospect for the Tiernan lads to go down and play them down, Townie. And Kilcar, you would expect, would come away winning that one, Brendan.
Okay. Killybegs, Liam Fun. Neil?
Tough one that day, early Killybegs. You know, a lot of good young players coming up too. But we played Liam Fun last year and they're tough, like, you know. And, I think Killybegs at home will win nothing.
Yeah, certainly. And Bundoran St. Unions, Brendan?
Yeah, I spoke about it previously. I think Unions will come away with a win on this one, Brendan. I think they'll find it difficult down there, but I think they will come away with a win.
And rather unfairly, Neil, I'm going to ask you to call St. Michael's in the Glen. No, I'll leave that one to you, Brendan. Now, pick a winner, I'll have one for me.
Listen, I'm going to put my neck out. I think St. Michael's, with home advantage, have a big... They were very unfortunate to lose out to Unions last year in the quarterfinals, so I think they just may have too much for Glenswillie on Friday. Listen, Neil, I hope you don't take that the wrong way.
Very good, very good. Listen, lads, thanks so much.
Motivation for you, Neil.
I appreciate that, lads. Great talking to you, and we'll be in touch, and good luck at the weekend.
All right, cheers.
Thanks, Brendan.
Cheers, man. Right, folks, now I'm joined by a man not far from us here, across the border, just in Derry. For me, he's one of the best forwards I've ever seen play the game on his day, unmarkable. It is, of course, Derry's Paddy Bradley.
All right, Brendan, how's things?
How's things, Paddy? You got the feet up, hey? No classrooms at the minute, hey? You're on a long summer holiday.
Long summer holiday, but plenty of homeschooling had to be done, Brendan, so it just wasn't as stress-free as many might think. Four lads here, I'll tell you. It was the wife, she's working most days, so it was stressful enough, I'll tell you.
Challenging, boy. Four boys, hey? Four footballers coming up, hey? They'll be lads to watch.
Well, hopefully. Look, the oldest is 10, the youngest is 2. They're all very keen, they're very interested, like, early days, you know, they're into everything, they're into soccer, they're into swimming, they're, you know, interested in golf, they're into, you know, all these things, but obviously I hope that they all take an interest in playing football for the club and maybe for Derry someday, so that would be, you know, that we're looking towards, anyway.
And Paddy, tell me, how's the body yourself? Are you ready to go for the championship? You had a couple of issues there with knees, was it?
To be honest, Brent, I haven't played much in the last couple of years. I've been managing Newbridge there for the last 3 years, and we'll look this year. I've played back and forth with the club, but because of the two knee injuries of a bad back, you know, I haven't fully given the sustained commitment. Now, over lockdown, I suppose it's different this year, and it's a short season. The club did approach me about maybe coming out and trying to give a hand out. So I've done a wee bit of training. I might play a wee bit of reserve football, but I can't see me featuring too highly up the pecking order in the club. We obviously were relegated a couple of years ago. We were playing under the championship, which is a big change for us because we were always, I suppose, in my time, always a senior club. So, you know, there's a chance there that we maybe could go on once on an intermediate level. We're trying to, I suppose, bring in a lot of young players into the club, and they're doing fairly well. That would be a big boost. We maybe could go on and win an intermediate championship. So, like as I say, I'll be about the setup, but because I'm with Luke full time, I'll not be about all the time, but you know, I'll be there to lend a hand where I can.
Yeah, tough championship, Derry and Paddy. Always something we've looked at, you know, no matter who comes out of Derry, they seem to be one of the favourites for Ulster, and it just shows you the depth and strength that's there. But Paddy, you've links here in Donegal. Obviously, you were down in Gondor one season helping out. You'd be good friends with Kevin Cass, so you know your way around the Donegal championship as well.
Yeah, I do, and you know, I've been in regular contact with Kevin. I actually know they were playing Glen Mahara, who'd be one of the favourites for the Derry Championship. Played them yesterday. They had a 1-12 apiece draw. I was on the phone to Kevin trying to get bits of information about Mahara and how they set up and how they played. So Gondor, obviously one of the favourites for the Championship. I actually, myself, for Luke, tried to organise a friendly with Gondor. It was organised for last Thursday night, but it just didn't come off, just with the timing and midweek and the distance and travel. Also, and I would know Richard Thornton there, who's manager of Unions. We looped down and played Unions a couple of weeks ago down in Letterkenny, and we had a good challenge game with them. So yeah, I've plenty of links to Donegal football, and I always keep a close eye on what's going on down there.
Yeah, of course, football not allowed in Derry, so all the Derry and Tyrone lads were coming out here and scores, trying to get friendlies and get themselves up and running, which was difficult, Paddy. I know there was a situation there with Eve Colum-Kill, where there was a suspected COVID-19 outbreak with Glack. And they decided to not play their game, but then the county board said, listen, that wasn't the right way, and there was a bit of confusion about that, Paddy. But just hoping, I know at the weekend there was a situation in Killeavy there with the club was shut down as well. So as much as we're looking forward to this championship coming back, Paddy, there's a bit of fear that at any stage it could all unravel around the pandemic.
Well, this is it. You're tiptoeing around the situation. You mentioned Killeavy there. Cleavey actually were due to play Greenmore there at the weekend in the league, and I couldn't get a friendly for Luke. Everywhere I tried, we're sort of cautious about playing the Derry team because of the fact there had been an outbreak in Derry over a week ago. So, believe it or not, I actually phoned Greenmore on the off chance last Friday I heard that their game was Cleavey was off, and Greenmore agreed to play Luke on a challenge, and we went down there and played Sunday. But, you know, the fact that there was an outbreak in South Armagh, the players were even worried about it, but at the same time, they needed football, and we hadn't had a game since the Unions games two weeks ago. So, as I say, you're tiptoeing around the situation, and you're constantly looking at the phone and looking at Twitter to see what's going on, and you're sort of half worrying that, as you say, things might be called to halt at some stage. You know, Josh McNulty, I read there in the Sunday World yesterday, he had a piece in, and he was saying, you know, that if there is much more outbreaks in around club, the GAA might have to reevaluate the situation. And well, it's great that the football is back, and it's great for great for communities, and it's great for even for the heads and the bodies, and for people to get out and back playing. At the same time, you wouldn't want it to be the detriment of people's health.
And Patrick, you obviously Newbridge there, you're coaching there the last couple of seasons. Is it something that you've enjoyed? Is that something you always thought you would do in your playing days?
Definitely, and like even whenever I was down with Gondor, like I was still playing at that time. I was sort of, I'm really, really, you know, keen on coaching. I really love working with players, and as I say, Newbridge approached me 3 years ago to come in and manage them, and I spent 3 years with the club with good success. We won an intermediate championship with two promotions, and you know, I left them. It was a very tough decision to leave them last year because they were great lads. And to be honest, I was actually thinking of taking a year out of coaching, but then look, you know, approached me about coming to take that job, and I was unsure about it because, again, another Derry team, and the fact that obviously, you know, my own club's a Derry team, and I wouldn't want to be seen as one of these managers that maybe just jumps from club to club to club, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, I knew a lot of the players, even McAllen, you know, Paul Young, Terence O'Brien, you know, had played with a lot of them boys with Derry, and a lot of them have been on the phone, were keen to take the post. So I decided to take that post, and it's something, again, I'm really, really enjoying. And that interaction with players, you know, trying to pull the best out of players, is something that I really enjoy, and something that I can get my teeth into. Look, with me, with the two knees, and say with a bad back, and just not really give everything in terms of playing capacity, you know, it was just the natural progression, you know. Obviously, at around school, I manage teams, I coach teams, and it's just something that I really enjoy, and it's something that it was natural to me.
Bad knees or not, I think if you swung that left peg there, Paddy, more than likely it's going to go over the bar. Tell me, Paddy, just looking at you're on about there coaching and managing, it's a big thing you see different, I think, in the GAA to other sports. You know, you take a guy, is he a coach or is he a manager? It's such a different role, and they're, it really interests me who's doing what, because as you say, on the training pitch, the year that I took St Union's along with Eamon O'Boyle and Mickey McGee, and like, we, the coaching side of it is what I really enjoyed. The game side, I didn't really get much out of it. You know, it, I knew the players that well. It's pretty straightforward who should have went where and what. But it was the coaching, fixing problems, getting the right buzz of training. That's what it was all about. Are you doing both roles, Barry, or have you got help in certain areas of that?
No, well, funny you say that. Whenever I was in Newbridge for 3 years, I took charge of everything, coaching, managing. And to be honest, with a senior club with 50 men, it was quite, you know, taxing, you know. And the last year when Newbridge, I brought on Martin Boyle, who would be, teach along me, who would be the day under 17 manager, to give me a hand because, you know, as you say, there's so many things to do in terms of, the, you know, divided roles between the coaching, the managing of players, the managing the situations, the logistics of the whole thing. This year now, and look, myself and Kevin Brady, you know, Kevin, you've played against Kevin many a time, from Antrim, Kevin would do a lot of the coaching, but I myself am very hands-on. It's not like I just leave, you know, the coaching to Kevin and I just sit and watch everything. You know, the two of us interact with the players, the two of us would be involved in the coaching of the team. Like, we have 55 men training and we break things up and we do different things at different stages. But I say, I love getting my teeth into fixing problems. Like, if there's something I've seen in a friendly, for example, yesterday, again, Greenwood, that I wasn't happy about, you know, I'd be sitting, obviously, over the next day here thinking of what way we could address that, what way we could fix that, what drills we could do to try and, you know, improve that situation. And that's to say, that's what I love about the coaching side of things, is, you know, it's not just going out there doing a set drill that maybe, you know, replicating something you maybe done with Derry 5 years ago that Mickey Moore or Damien Cassidy or Eamon Coleman done, you know. You're actually trying to design and develop things, you know, within your own coaching that will actually improve the team that you're with at the minute, you know. So, you know, myself and Kevin Brady, I say, are coaching the team. I'm officially the manager, and, you know, I make all the big calls, but I have a great backroom team. There's three look lads there. Themselves are all paid for the club, and, you know, we have a good setup there.
Great stuff, Barry. Great stuff. And, Barry, just on the championship, the senior championship, the John McLaughlin Cup, Barry, I guess, you know, Ulster football, club football, you know, at all levels is so deep, it's so ingrained in us. It's such a brilliant competition. But as I was saying in the intro, you know, the Derry Championship for me, of all them, in terms of, you know, a spread of teams that can come up and really hold their own in Ulster, has always been at the top. And I suppose dominated for a long time by Ballaghy, you know, Ballanderry then through the noughties, you know, Slot Neil in with their four in a row. And let's not forget Glen Ullin's famous one in 2007. That must have been a magical time, Paddy, for a close-knit area and all your family and friends.
Aye, look, I still highlighted as, you know, the biggest achievement of my career. I actually done a piece not too long ago with a paper about this. Like, you know, I grew up in Clonmany, which is about 7 or 8 miles over the road. I'm now living in Clonmany. My mother's a Clonmany woman. My daddy, you know, used to drive us over in the car from we're 6, 7 years of age. And all he used to chat about, because he won a championship himself in 85, was, you know, was won a championship. And that was just something myself alone just, you know, that's what we're brought up with, was that, you know, we had to win a senior championship. And for me, you know, to captain the team in 2007, for daddy to manage the team, you know, and all my cousins, because, you know, the likes of Gerard Keane and all them brothers, they're all cousins of mine, you know, it's so close-knit, it was a fantastic achievement. The biggest regret I have, Brendan, was the fact we didn't win more. Like, that team in 2007 should have won 3 or 4 championships, and we did. We threw away, you know, 2 or 3 championships. The problem, you know, between just bad luck, refereeing decisions, just, you know, bad game management, you know, we should have had 2 or 3 more championships. And, you know, when you see where we're at to where we're at now, say we're now down to an intermediate level, but, you know, a small club like Glen Ullin, you know, things come in phases. You know, you'll have your strong period where you have plenty of numbers and you have a good side, but then maybe things will, you know, wane for a wee while, but we will be back again, you know what I mean, and that's what we're building towards. We've really good underage structures at the club at the moment, and most of the boys that played in 2007 are under 10s, 12s, 14s, you know, and their Cubs are starting to come through, my own Cubs are starting to come through, and as I say, hopefully success isn't too far in the corner again.
Mm-hmm. So Corrine coming through 2018 and Mara Felt last season, obviously the dominance of Slot Neil, do you see them coming back again, Paddy? What's the kind of feeling in Derry for the main side that have a chance of lifting that senior title?
To be honest, Brett, I mean that, there's only one of, like I said, the throwing championship for me, there's only one of 8, 9, 10 sides to win that title this year, and I suppose the fact that it's a short title and, you know, it's nearly week in, week out, you're playing straight away, and injuries are going to play a big part. Like, just funny, yesterday, Slam Neil were playing the hurling championship. They had the first game against Ballinscreen, and Carrie McCaig, who you know is one of the main county players and one of the main Sandhill players, he apparently has done an Achilles injury and has to go for an operation this morning. So that would be a massive loss for them, because he would be their go-to man marker. And Sandhill obviously still are going to be one of the favourites, you know. They obviously have to run to the Ulsters and All-Irelands, and you know, and Shane McGuigan, they probably have the best forward in the county, and as you know, forwards won games. So they're going to be very, very hard to beat. Obviously Marifelt won it last year. Marifelt 2 this year have Peter Quinn, who was transferred, was Nafina or something in Dublin. He has been away the last couple of years. He's been working down there. He's back. Michael McAvoy, who is a county player, had done his cruciate. He is back. So Marifelt are actually strengthened this year. And Adrian Cush, they have a very astute manager. So again, they're going to be one of the favourites. But Coleraine are a team, you mentioned there, Coleraine are a team that you never hear anything about. You don't know if they're playing friendlies. You don't know what they're at. They're sort of nearly down there on their own, and you never hear what's going on. You've obviously the whole McGoldrick family there, who are all very, very talented boys, and on any given day, they're going to be a match for anyone. They play a sort of funny brand of football to everybody else. It's sort of that keep ball, and then you hit you in the break. You know what I mean? And they're very, very hard to play against. And different managers down the years have thought that they could figure them out, and they get, the game plan to beat them, but they always seem to be in the shake-up. So they're three of the favourites. But Glenn Mahara, who I mentioned the game, beat in the final last year. Now they'll get confidence from being in the final, and they're a very young side. And, again, the rumour is that they've been training all through lockdown, and they're going really, really well. So, it's definitely is wide open this year again.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Paddy, just looking down through the history, I don't know if you're aware of this, that Burton Buncrana hold Derry Senior Football Championships. Are you aware of that?
I did read that somewhere. Very, very often I would reminisce and I sort of look at different stats and things in Derry websites and stuff, and I did see that there was a few Donegal teams and had won championships and stuff, and hurling championships and the like too.
Yeah, hurling as well. Yeah, there was another team called Clan Connell that won it. Now this is way back into 1930 and 1931. Now I give Jerry Donnelly, your ex-PRO, Jerry's top man, I give him a text. I said, Jerry, what's going on here? So he actually gave me a number for some Derry historian, but I just got it as I was landing at the studio, so I must check into that. And interesting stuff. And Paddy, just a quick word on the county team then. It doesn't make us happy here in Donegal that Derry have dropped so far down. Always one of the top counties. When you think back, of course, to 92 and 93, the great rivalries which maintained right up in the 98 when I was playing that first year of the Ulster final. And the strength of obviously the club football versus, say, for Donegal. And then it was almost as if Derry should be where Donegal are at in terms of, say, where clubs at. Now, the Donegal clubs have got their act together, but for Derry now, it's a huge rebuilding process. And under Rory Gallagher, what's your thoughts on the team, or where do you see this team going, Paddy? Is there signs in the county that they could maybe come back up and be back into a team that can hold their own in Ulster?
Well, you said it's a rebuild operation. They obviously haven't been performing to the levels that they were in and around the noughties, and even whenever I was there, in the 2000s and that. To be honest, Brent, just the quality of the players maybe just weren't there in the last 6, 7, 8 years, you know what I mean? Obviously, the likes of myself and Owen and Big Enda, Fergal Doherty, we all retired, and maybe the calibre of the player that they were bringing in maybe just wasn't as good, and obviously they fell now to Division 4. They're starting to climb their way back up again, but the underage has been fairly good. The minors and under 21s have been forming quite well. As you say, the club structures are still good. I myself was into the job this year along with Johnny McBride. We felt that there was potential there. Rory obviously got the job, and Rory's a proven manager. He's done well obviously anywhere he's been in terms of Donegal and Fermanagh, so they've went to a proven manager, which again itself is positive. I think that they'll not be far away in the next lot of years. Rory, I think himself, has talked to the players about a rebuilding project about the next 3, 4, 5 years. I think if he's given, he probably will do a decent job. But there had to be a bit of realism where Derry were at, in terms of the quality of players. I think we aren't a Division 1 team, possibly a Division 2 team, but we're nowhere near the Tyrones, the Donegals, the Dublins of this world. A wee bit like Armagh. I suppose Armagh have been rebuilding under McGinney the last 2 or 3 years. A wee bit of patience has made it. As I say, there's some real quality young players coming through, but they're still in their early 20s. It'll take time to develop, it does take 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, Paddy, just you know, just when you look at that, Paddy, just you think, right, if the club teams are turning out teams which you are right up there in terms of, you know, you couldn't say that they're at any lesser point the Donegal team, yet how is that not producing the players? Is there a thing of that step up is a different type of player, or how do you think that's going to evolve? Because, you know, the I suppose the base is there. You know, if you look at other counties, they don't have your level of club talent. So how does that transpire in the county then?
That's one thing about Brent, that we're competing at the top, one of the national leagues, and you're challenging for Ulster titles. We always had really, really strong club football, but for some reason we had a glut of players who were performing really, really strongly for their clubs week in, week out, you know, performing for their clubs in championship, performing in Ulster championship with the club, that couldn't make the step up to, you know, to play for the county. Like I used to always comment that, you know, the Derry team, the Derry panel every given year would have maybe changed maybe 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 players. You know, say it was Mickey Moore in 1 year, you know, you had your starting 15, which you nearly knew, you know, who was going to be involved in that, and you maybe, you know, you had your other 15 panel members, but all of a sudden then the next year, that might have changed maybe 15 men, because, you know, managers in Derry always found it hard, you know, to distinguish between what was a good club player and, you know, and a good solid county player, and we had a lot of players that just weren't fit to make that step up. So, you know, that's the challenge Rory has at the moment, because, as you say, Derry club football is still strong. Whoever wins the Derry championship this year, you'll be expecting to go on to compete for Ulster and all Ireland titles, you know. And Derry, is it, you know, if you go to watch any given Derry match, the standard, the quality of the play is brilliant. But, you know, which of them players will be good enough to make the step up to play, you know, Ulster Senior Football Championship, you know, to compete with the Donegals and the Thrones of the World? It's a tough job. And, you know, again, that's something that I'd be very interested in, you know, getting involved in myself, hence the reason why myself and Johnny and that went for that job, because, you know, we feel, you know, earmarking players that have the qualities to do that would be right up our street. I do think there are plenty of talented footballers in the county at the moment, plenty of good talented young boys, but as I said, it takes, it just doesn't happen overnight. There's very few players that, you know, go straight into the county team and perform. Maybe it takes 2 or 3 years and a wee bit of patience, you know, but I think, as I say, Rory will probably get 2 or 3 years, and I don't think in a few years' time we will be far away. I can see us, he'll go up the tables, and I can see that we're definitely better than the Division 3 or 4 side. We're definitely a good, steady Division 2 side, possibly pushing to Division 1 in a couple of years' time, and hopefully back challenging for the title.
Great stuff, Paddy. Thanks so much. And get up the divisions, and maybe the Johnny McBride, Paddy Bradley ticket will be back, and lead Derry back to the glory day. Say, listen, it'll be great to see you, Paddy. Thanks so much for joining us on the Daily Debate.
No ball, Britton.
Right, great to hear from Paddy Bradley there in the Derry Championship. Yesterday I was at Satanta Park, where I watched Satanta easily account for Burt in the Senior Hurling Championship. Also at the weekend, there was ones for Buncrana over St Eunan's. And then the Ladies Championship, Termon beat Buncrana. Kira McGarvey hitting 5 goals in that game. And also Glenn Finn beating Mavelle, with Karen Guthrie scoring the winning score in extra time. So the championship hotting up in the ladies and in the men's hurling, and next week the senior championship kicks off, and intermediate and junior. So that's a wrap for this week on the DL Debate. I want to thank Oisin Kelly and June Dex for producing. I'll talk to you next week.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen and Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience. Okay.